Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Planning Committee for the 30th of August 2022. I'm the chair of the committee for today, normally vice chairman of the committee, but standing in today. My name is Ed Barker, and I'll introduce my top table. On my left is our legal representative, Sherry Grant. On my immediate right is the planning manager, Naomi Perry. On her right is our planning officer, Gary Shilton. And on the far left is the Democratic Service Officer, Monica Henchcliffe. If my fellow councillors could just announce who they are, please, for the record. So I could kind of start with that side, please.
Hello, Councillor Becca Brady.
Councillor Greg Hall.
Councillor Ray Faulkner.
Afternoon, Alison Legg.
Councillor Granlan.
Thank you very much. So for housekeeping, will you all please switch off your mobile phones? There are no fire alarms planned. If there is a fire alarm that goes off, then please exit through the rear door and meet out in the street. Please don't call out when individuals are speaking, as it prevents others from hearing the debate. And can I ask, firstly, are there any apologies for absence?
So we've got Councillor Gould, Councillor Ashcroft, Councillor Keenan and Councillor Walker.
Thank you. Item two, are there any declarations of interest? Councillor Lamb.
Yeah, I'd like to declare an interest in the item on the agenda, as I've got friends that have objected to it and I therefore feel I shouldn't take part in the debate. However, I do want to speak against as a ward councillor.
Thank you, Councillor Lamb.
When you go and speak.
Thank you very much. That's the legal advice taken care of. Everybody organised. Thank you. Would members please accept the minutes from the last meeting held on the 26th of July? All those in favour? Those against? Those abstaining? Thank you. That's carried. I will sign the minutes in front of you so you can see the job's been done. Excellent. Item four. Is there any urgent business to be brought to the committee? Thank you. So we move on to item five. Applications for planning permission to consider the attached report for the application, which is P2021-01593, and I will ask Gary Shilton as our officer to present, please.
Okay. This application is in relation to land for the rear of 5 Beach Drive in Stretton. It's for the erection of 3 detached dormer bungalows. The site is outlined in black here, with the access coming in off Princess Way to the left here, and public footpath running north to south along part of the access road. You can see the conservation area of the Trent and Mersey Canal just to the southeast of the site here. This aerial shows the site as it was as an orchard, which has been cleared prior to the application coming in, and is now overgrown grassland. And it shows the access through the trees onto Princess Way here. This is the access along Princess Way, which is in existence, running along here between the trees. This is a view to the south along Princess Way, with the access shown more clearly. The It's the view from inside the site, opposite the entrance, the proposed entrance to the site, looking back towards Princess Way along the access. This is to the north, showing the existing access road, which accesses the properties on the right, which are fronted along Beach Lane. You can see the cars parked on the right-hand side, which use the access. This is to the south of the site, with the site just to the left, and the public footpath running down past the site boundary. This is a view over the site to the north-eastern corner, showing the houses along Beach Lane here, with the bungalows and the houses along the opposite side along here. This shows the site full width, with a cherry tree there to be retained and a blue cedar in the rear garden of number 5 Beach Lane along there. This is a view to the south, showing the backs of the houses, bungalows along Beach Drive, and backing onto the rear gardens there. This is a view just to the front of the site, with the houses and outbuildings along Beach Drive shown, and the existing boundary along the footpath shown to the right. This is a location plan of the site. It shows Beach Drive along here and Beach Lane running here, with the rear gardens and garages, the house along Beach Lane, which back onto the access road and the access onto Beach, onto Princess Way. This is the proposed layout of the site, indicating the 3 detached dormer bungalows, with the parking within the centre of the site and the access road coming off to the left. It's a plan showing the trees to be retained on the site and the hedges and tree protection plans on the site to show where tree protection fencing will be sited. It's a layout of the dormer bungalows, with front facing dormers and a single story element to the rear of lantern roof lights, which indicate bedrooms at ground floor and a bedroom at first floor. So, in summary, Staffordshire County Highways raised no objections subject to conditions in relation to rights of access, parking and turning areas, and works to public access at the front of the site. An informative has also been requested in relation to a section 184 notice for works to a public highway. Staffordshire County Historic Environment Team raised no objections subject to a condition for an archaeological watching brief. Peak and Northern Footpath Society raised no objections subject to an informative in relation to a public right of way, Streatham 1, which crosses the site, and in relation to the use of a public right of way, and that the safety of users must not be affected by the development nor during the work taking place. Staffordshire County Council Public Rights of Way raised no objections. However, the application does not recognise the existence of public footpath number 1, which runs across the access of the proposed development, and this needs to be brought to the attention of the applicant, and that any planning permission given does not construe the right, divert, extinguish or obstruct any part of the public footpath. Environmental health. No objection subject to conditions in relation to land contamination and noise mitigation. The tree officer raised no initial objection to the proposal, as there is no arboricultural report or method statement raised an initial objection to the proposal, as there is no arboricultural report or method statement submitted in relation to the trees cited on the edge of the site. And they raise no objections to the report submitted, subject to a condition in relation to the method statement. ESBC Waste have stated that the waste would not be collected from the private road and bins would be collected from Princess Way. But ideally, bins would be collected from Princess Way. Streatham Parish Council, no comments have been received. Ward members, one call-in has been received on the basis that the road was built as an access road for residents, not a residential road. Sorry, I forgot the slide. Nine letters of objection have been received, which have been summarised in the main report, which includes impacts on the amenity, biodiversity and the access. Relevant policies, the MPPF, the East Staffordshire Borough Council Local Plan, East Staffordshire Design Guide, Parking SPD, Separation Distance and Amenity SPD, Housing Choices SPD, Waste Storage and Collection Guidance and the Streatham Neighbourhood Plan. The principle of the use of a site for residential purposes is considered acceptable given the location within the settlement boundary of Burton upon Trent. And it's acceptable in sustainability terms. Sorry, I forgot to mention in relation to publicity, we've had an additional neighbour representation received today, which has been summarised and circulated to members. And the Chair will read the summary at the end. Okay. In relation to the design and impact on the character of the area, the design of the dormer bungalows is considered acceptable, given the surrounding built form, which mainly consists of bungalows, with an example of a dormer bungalow sited at the head of Beach Drive. Site levels have been provided, which indicate that the heights of proposed bungalows would be similar to those along Beach Drive. It is considered, in relation to amenity, that the proposal would result in no significant overlooking, loss of privacy or overbearing, impact on the occupiers of the neighbouring dwellings or the proposed dwellings, noise or contamination issues subject to conditions. Highway matters. The highway authorities raised no objection to the proposal on highway safety grounds subject to conditions. Public right-of-way officer has raised no objections to the proposal in respect of a public footpath, Streatham one, which crosses the access to the site. In relation to the historic environment, the proposal will have no impact on heritage assets, as it is not located within a conservation area, and the nearest listed building is screened from the site by intervening built form. The county archaeologist has raised no objection subject to a condition for a watching brief to any grant of consent. Flood risk and drainage. Local plan policy SP27 and S6 of the neighbourhood plan both require developments to incorporate sustainable drainage systems. The application form states SUDS would be incorporated into the development for the surface water discharge, which can be secured by condition. Affordable housing and housing mix. The application proposed is the erection of three 3-bedroom family homes, which would also be suitable for older people and those wishing to downsize. In this instance, given the number and size of the proposed dwellings, It is not considered reasonable for a mix of dwellings to be provided on the site, and given the surrounding types and sizes of residential accommodation, the proposal will meet the wider need of family and older person dwellings. Green infrastructure in the National Forest. The site is located within the National Forest. However, the site is beneath the threshold required for consultation or additional tree planting. The Council's tree officer has raised no objections to arboricultural report and plans subject to conditions. The proposal indicates the retention of the hedgerows around the site as part of the development, which can be incorporated into any landscaping scheme and can be secured by condition. Biodiversity. The submitted reports make recommendations to provide bird and bat boxes to be installed in each dwelling and for hedgehog nesting boxes to be provided as ecological enhancement measures. The condition is therefore recommended to ensure that these ecological enhancement measures are implemented, as well as plant species of known wildlife potential within a landscaping scheme, to mitigate against loss of habitat and impact on wildlife. The BAT survey also identifies that there is a green corridor immediately to the west of the site and recommends a condition to ensure that no artificial lighting should spill from the site onto the western boundary, which would affect the wildlife corridor, which is considered reasonable. In conclusion, having regard to the planning balance, therefore the proposed scheme is considered to be in line with the overall aims of the policies in the East Staffordshire Local Plan, Stretton Neighbourhood Plan, the associated supplementary planning documents and the National Planning Policy Framework. Engagement. During the course of consideration of this proposal, the local planning authority has negotiated with the applicant to ensure the development complies with the relevant development plan policies and material planning considerations, including the National Planning Policy Framework. It is therefore considered that the local planning authority has worked proactively with the applicant to secure a development that improves the economic, social and environmental conditions of the area in accordance with requirements of paragraph 38 of the National Planning Policy Framework. Recommendation is to approve with conditions as per the report.
Thank you, Gary. In lieu of a speaker, anybody opposing the planning application, we have received a late objection this morning, which I will read to you now. You've all had a copy of this, members of the committee. And the objection reads, the landowner does not have ownership or right of access from the private road. Maintenance on the road is minimal, and with increased use, the road will deteriorate quicker, having a negative effect on residents' cars. Thirdly, the access road was built for the purpose of an access road, not a residential road. Access should be via Beach Drive. Number four, a previous application for a bungalow at the end of Beach land property was refused on the basis of sewerage, gas and access. So why is this being considered? Next, the first section of the road is only a single road and not suitable for safe ingress and egress. Widening the road will have an impact on the trees and wildlife. Next, the existing turning circle will be lost, which will impact on residents using the footpath. Next point, with no lighting, the increased traffic using the access road will have an impact on safety for pedestrians who often use the footpath. The next point, the bin collection point will be an obstacle for pedestrians on Princess Way. Next, the question whether Stretton can take any more residents. There are already issues getting GP appointments. The next point, what provisions will there be to make sure that residents can access their properties when commencements start? And finally, concerned about emergency vehicles accessing the properties with the street not being an adopted highway and with no street name. So that is the late letter of objection, most of which I think we read during the initial report, but for the record we've had that this morning. So, with that, I would like to call on the second speaker, if I count myself as the first one. It was the agent for the application, Mr. Jim Malkin. Good afternoon, Jim, and welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon. Nice to see everyone again.
Are you well aware of our speaking procedures?
Fully aware.
Thank you very much. You can have 3 minutes whenever you start.
Fantastic. Many thanks for the opportunity to speak in support of our client's application at Beach Drive, Stretton. And I'm quite surprised to be on my own at the back, actually. This application has been with the Council for a number of months. We sought to work closely with your officers throughout this time to reach an acceptable scheme. We're delighted that these discussions have led to a recommendation for approval this afternoon. As we've heard, the site's located in the settlement manager of Burton-on-Trent and is in a highly sustainable location with easy access to shops, employment opportunities and public transport. It's therefore an ideal location for new, small-scale residential development. The units have been carefully designed and laid out to ensure the proposal sits acceptably within the context of the area and will appear as a high-quality design as advocated by the MPPF. The scheme has been laid out to meet with all the necessary requirements of the separation distances and amenity SPD and therefore ensures there are no adverse impacts on the reasonable amenities of the occupiers of neighbouring dwellings. The applicant has completed a number of specialist reports as set out by Gary. These all support the application and include a preliminary ecology appraisal, bat survey, tree survey and a boy cultural impact assessment and tree protection plan. These specialist reports clearly demonstrate that there are no technical matters associated with the scheme that should merit a refusal of the proposal. With regards to the highway implications, the highways engineer have confirmed that Staffordshire County Council Highways have no objection to the proposal. All legal matters pertaining to the access sit outside of the planning process. However, just to update members, the applicants are in detailed discussions with the Council to ensure that legal access is provided to the site, and this matter is likely to be resolved in the near future. As set out in the officer's report, should the applicant fail to obtain a legal right of access, then any consent could not be implemented. This matter, however, does not preclude the granting of planning permission for the proposed development today. We therefore hope that you are able to follow your officer's recommendation and grant planning permission for this well thought out and sympathetic proposal, which meets all technical and planning policy standards and requirements. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malkin. Are there any questions from the councillors? Yes. At this stage, I'd like to call on the ward councillor, Councillor Graham Lamb, who would like to make his statement, please.
Yeah. As a ward councillor for Stratton, I have several concerns with this application and a few similar to those that have been raised. Firstly, I must raise the concern of site access onto Princess Way. Now, the original planning document did say the access onto Princess Way is wide enough to enable two cars to pass easily and is provided with good visibility. So I'm pleased that Staffs County Council have said that it must be widened. The applicant's planning document also said the very minor increase in frequency in its use will have severe impacts on the highway safety and in the locality. So I was a bit surprised they say it would have severe impacts on highway safety. I'm not sure if they were joking. But they could be thinking when there is parking on the other side of the road if Burton Albion have a home match. While I'm not sure it will severe, I'm still concerned with the safety of the access. Princess Way is a busy road going into a 40-mile section about 150 metres from the access. I think consideration should be given to extending the yellow lines opposite the access. As the widened access must take place, going back to some of the points I think raised by other people in terms of the site access, as the widening I presume must take place before the building work can commence, then there is this question about what happens to people who use that road to access their back parking at the moment and how that will be allowed for, and if I can ask that to be raised. With the council owning the land, after the building is completed, will they be fixing it to ensure there's no problems?
Sorry, Graham, can you just move back a fraction from the microphone? Sorry.
We're told that the hedge will be the boundary. The application says the hedge is mature enough to provide a sufficient amount of screening from neighbouring properties. It's true it's been well maintained, but what will be the responsibility of the future landowners to maintain the hedge and not lose that screening? I see in the officer's report there is a mention of adding an additional informative, and I would support that. We are told that the dormer buildings are sited such that there's been no impacts on the immediacy of neighbouring properties, and one of the concerns of residents is what is to stop those being converted into much bigger houses and therefore creating these problems. And it would be useful if the committee can clarify that that won't be allowed under permitted development rights. The other concern I pick up is the point that the person made is what actually will be the addresses of these houses, because they're obviously not connected really to Beach Lane. Are they going to be on Princess Way with no access road? What is going to be their numbers? And lastly, we have struggled in Stratton with lorries not following agreed construction management plans and travelling down Clay Mills Road and Church Road to Beam Hill developments. What is the construction management plan for this site, and what can be done to prevent lorries following their sat-navs and not these plans? Thank you.
Thank you, Graham, for raising some very serious concerns as a ward councillor. I think that sums up your job perfectly, so thank you very much for that. Are you quite happy to stay where you are? I mean, we're quite happy to have you there in the... No, we appreciate that. So can I ask Naomi and Gary, whoever, to respond to some of the points that Graham's raised, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So I made note of the queries there, and some of these also relate to the comments that we've had from the late objection as well. Sorry. Okay, so the first one in relation to the access and the widening. So the condition requires the widening at the front part of the access road prior to occupation. So not prior to commencement of the site, but prior to occupation of the dwellings. However, we do have another condition in relation to construction management plan, condition 17, and that will have to specify where delivery vehicles are going to go, where they're going to leave all the materials, things like that. So that will address your concern that you've highlighted in the short term in terms of widening the access for construction vehicles. In relation to the hedge, we did discuss that on site this morning, actually, in terms of maintenance. So that will be, at the moment, the hedge is maintained by the landowner, and then that requirement will pass on to the future occupiers of the properties, however they're divided up. But it will become, the new residence requirement, and we do have a condition that secures the retention of the hedge as well. In relation to the removal of PD, the officer's report doesn't include a condition in relation to PD. Usually we would have that as a condition if we were concerned about someone being able to come in with an extension and reducing the size of a garden or possible impacts on neighbouring properties in terms of distances. That's why we would normally require PD to be removed. For this case, we felt that the plots are quite spacious and you probably could build an extension that wouldn't have an impact under PD.
Can I just ask for a short adjournment? Councillor Brady is unwell and is struggling to go through the meeting. I think that's a temporary break, if that's all right, for a minute. Right, we reconvene with Naomi speaking on permitted development rights.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So I was saying the normal situations where we might consider removing PD rights, but in this instance we felt that the plots were quite spacious and they could accommodate, if any of these properties did want to do an extension, that it could accommodate that. But if members feel that they would like to remove PD rights, then that is something that we could include on any permission. There is one on the list of conditions already for the removal of PD rights in relation to gates and walls, so the applicant won't be able to do that without a formal planning application. But if members felt that they wanted to remove it for any future extensions, then we can do that as well. And then I think the outstanding point was in relation to street naming and numbering. We don't deal with that in planning. What the usual process is, once a house is being built, the developer would usually contact the council, our street naming and numbering team, and then they would sort out the actual name of the property or number. So we as planning don't get involved in that. But there is a process that they would have to go through. And then just one outstanding matter on the later objection. I thought it'd be useful just to make it clear. It is covered in the report. But the later objection refers to a previous application, but we haven't got on our record any official planning applications for this, for any other development in this area. So just to make that clear.
Thank you, Naomi. Just before I open it up to the rest, just to say that I'm right in thinking that we've been in touch with the department and they will collect the bins from the roadside.
That's right, yeah. And in relation to, I know the comment was about safety, wasn't it? if bins are there, people might have to, they're concerned that people might have to then walk onto the road. But as we saw on the site visit today, it's quite spacious, so bins could be just pulled off, you know, off the highway in that location if needed.
Thank you. That's just one of the things I picked up. Questions from councillors. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. I think, firstly, I would like some clarification. I mean, Naomi's just shown, well, the bins could go there, somewhere there, whereas in the report it says there will be an access point made available on Princess Way. One of the complaints was about the access maybe preventing pedestrians on the footpath. Well, where Naomi is actually identifying with the arrow was nowhere near the footpath. But could we actually have some kind of proper bin storage at the side of the road, like a concrete pad or something like that, where the residents can place their bins? Because that open space has is undulations, and it will be difficult to place bins on there and expect them to actually stay there and not roll down the bank or fall over. So it needs something that is flat where they can actually place the bins. The second question I have is in relation to condition 17, the construction management plan. There is no detail on that in terms of hours of work. And as it's in a very highly residential area, I would have thought we would have put some times in on when work can commence and end on a weekday and what times they can commence and end on Saturdays, Sundays, if at all, or bank holidays, if at all.
Okay, so in relation to the bins, so any occupiers of the new properties will have to walk down that road and leave their bins off Princess Way to be collected. The issue with asking for a particular, you know, like slabbed area is it's not in the ownership of the applicant to do that. Certainly we can't ask them to do something that's not on their land. I know they're going to be doing...
We're using the access, which is not their land. And that is council property. One would have thought that we would give them permission to actually put something permanent there for them to store the bins for the waste collection.
Just going back to that one, Councillor Faulkner. Obviously, in terms of access, I mean, obviously that's a private right over there, so there is access over there. They just got to... So, in terms of access that you were just mentioning, and then the bin, I mean, the bin to actually slab an area and put that on, I think it's owned by the County Council, then obviously that's, or ourselves. ESBC, yeah. So, they'd have to get out, I mean, obviously, then they'd have to get permission. That's development that they're going to do on somebody else's land. So, that isn't something that, you know, would be in their remit. They'd have to get that. In terms of access, obviously I know that they're looking to get an easement to get access over that, and there is any negotiations going. As you know, that isn't anything that you can consider here today. That isn't a planning matter. I know the agent actually reaffirmed that in there, so that's not there. But we looked at the slabbing the area, but again, that would have to get permission from the council, because obviously they own the land, for them to slab that area. However, I know that that was considered by our planning officers when we were looking at it, and I know I've been in discussions with both the planning officers about this, that we didn't feel that that was required, because people do leave their bins regularly up and down the borough or on the main road for that period of time for when the bin collection is, and it wasn't necessary for it to be demarked out. So that's why that isn't being part of this application.
So we consider a slope of about 20, 25, 30 degrees as being suitable for leaving our wheelie bins on, do we?
I'll have to get the planning officer to come back on that one.
Yes, I can see what our legal officer's saying, but I don't think it's that the bins are going to fall over on there, to be fair. Councillor Faulkner, sorry.
Okay, all right.
The
Yes, sometimes we do have a separate condition in relation to hours of work, but in most cases it's covered under separate legislation under the environmental health remit, so it's kind of duplicating other responsibilities. But we could, if you were minded, we could amend the construction management plan condition to specifically refer to
Atlas. Could, because I had a complaint a couple of years back in terms of a permitted construction development, five houses, and there was no time constraints on it, and when the people complained across the road, planning officer said there's nothing we can do about it because we didn't put any time constraints on it. So I would like the time constraints putting on, please.
I think that sounds sensible, Councillor Faulkner. Having learned from that experience, I think we'll look at that, can we? Good. Councillor Legg, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Three questions, please. First one is, yes, I'd like to remove the permitted development rights. Second question is, no mention of B bricks. Swift bricks there is, I'd like B bricks including. And also on condition 6, please, can I have the period of 5 years moved to 10 years, please? And also, rather than have manicured landscaping, could I look at wildflowers and bee friendly things, please?
Thank you, Councillor Legg. How does that fit?
Both the amendment to a construction management plan condition and a new one in relation to removal of PD rights will need a motion and to be seconded. In relation to, sorry, let's move in the condition. The request for condition 6, so this is in relation to landscaping, so the condition is requiring the submission of a landscaping scheme, and it also says that any trees or plants which die within that first 5 years are replaced, so the request is to change that from 5 years to 10 years. The condition that we've got is one of our standard conditions. Don't often do 10 years because usually after 5 years they're quite well established. But again, that will need a vote on that one.
Right, thank you. Councillor Legg.
Yeah, the reason I'd asked for 10 years is recently, a few months ago, we looked at a site where the landscaping looked beautiful when they put it in. And then after a few years, it was very disappointing. It takes a long time for a tree to grow and flourish, so I think it's not unreasonable asking for 10 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Legg. I think, like with Councillor Faulkner and the experience, we learn as we go on, don't we? And we should be getting better processes as we continue with this committee. So I'm going to need a proposal on both those. Was the three? What was the third? Right, so I need a proposal on. Right.
One thing at a time.
We've accumulated all the.
We can do them all together.
Yes. We've accumulated all the points that you put forward. If everybody's going to be happy with this, and we'll see what it comes out with. Mm-hmm. Over to you, Naomi.
Okay. So we've got four proposals in front of us. The first one to remove PD rights in relation to extensions. The second one was for the ecological enhancement measure condition 12 to be expanded on to also include bee bricks. Only bee bricks, wasn't it? Yeah, bee bricks. condition 17 in relation to the construction management plan to specifically request details of hours of construction. And then the final one was in relation to the landscaping condition 6 to change the maintenance period from 5 to 10 years. I think we've got a comment from the agent if you want to consider that, Chair.
Can I ask the agent if all that sounds acceptable? Yes, we're giving. Yes. So, if we did all that, would that be acceptable without any question?
My only comment relates to the 5 to 10 years on the landscaping scheme. Every scheme that has ever been dealt with has always had a 5-year permission on it, 5-year retention. This site is not public facing, it's set behind. If we're not going to put 10 years on major development schemes, I feel it's very harsh on our applicant to require them to have a 10-year retention of landscaping scheme on this one.
Right, thank you, Mr. Malkin. Yes, Alison's got a word, and then Naomi will come back.
We recently extended landscaping from 5 to 10 years recently on less properties than are going on this site, so I think yes, we ought to stick to 10 years rather than 5 to give nature a chance. Thank you.
Just something for members to consider, really. As the agent has said, it is a scheme for 3 properties. We've got a separate condition requiring the retention, you know, in perpetuity of the hedge. So when this landscaping scheme comes in, it's not, you know, going to be a huge landscaped area. We're talking a few kind of incidental pieces at the front of properties, the gardens, which obviously people can choose to plant whatever they want in the gardens once they buy the property. So the landscaping scheme won't be overly detailed, and it won't be, you know, it won't be vast really. So in terms of retaining it, I think it will happen naturally through the house. Holders, to be honest.
Councillor Legg, are you appeased?
No.
Councillor Legg?
No, because I do feel it's a public footpath. It didn't look too unsightly as an orchard, but I do feel that people are going to walk past and see it. That was all.
I think just from a legal perspective for members just to consider is that we are looking at a very small scheme here in terms of, and what we're saying is that the landscaping is not going to be particularly detailed anyway. We're not looking at lots of trees that, and I get your point that they can need that maintenance, but we have to also look about what would happen if, you know, if there was, because it's only a small scheme, what would it be in the public interest to take any enforcement action against a breach of a condition where there is very minor issues in terms of the landscaping anyway? So I think we just have to look at it from a bigger picture and think, well, is it reasonable in these particular set of circumstances? I can see it being relevant with larger scale developments, but I'm not sure on a smaller scheme if it is. I'm just thinking, is it necessary? Would we spend public money on enforcing it at that point?
Councillor Faulkner.
Could I ask Councillor Legg exactly where she's concerned about in terms of landscaping? Because, as been pointed out, the majority of the land there will be under private ownership of the different owners of the land, and we can't actually go in and tell them you've got to landscape it in this way or that way or the other way. All we can do is actually ask them to keep it neat and tidy. We're asking the developer to actually maintain the trees or whatever it is for 5 years, wherever they're planted, and I can't see where they're going to be planted. So I'm struggling to find where the maintenance is in terms of the landscaping, to be honest.
Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Chairman. I am complete support of Councillor Legg's intention with this. I completely get where you're coming from, and I think you're absolutely right to want to strengthen conditions for planting. If we were looking at a boundary hedge that needed to be established to define the site, for example, or if we were looking at where there's going to be big trees, that are going to grow into the site and become mature, I would have a lot more support in what you're saying. But I think on this site, there's already one mature tree and a neighbouring mature tree. The boundary hedge is already established and is going to be protected during construction, as are the existing trees. I would just say that after 5 years, if all the people walking the footpath haven't noticed that the plants need to be replaced, they're not going to notice between 5 and 10 years, are they? So I'm not going to support the proposal to extend from 5 to 10 years on that. Can I just say on the construction management and the times of construction, do we need to say what we think that they should be so that we can discuss whether we think that they are necessary? At the moment, it's just an open. There will be. You will give us details of when you intend to construct, which I think could be reasonable. But what happens if they come back and say we want 24/7? What are we telling the officers that we think is reasonable and that we think is necessary on this particular site? And what are the reasons why it's necessary to have restricted hours of construction? I think we just need to fine-tune that a little bit so that we're giving the right instructions.
Right. Thank you, Councillor Hall. Councillor Legg, are you yet appeased?
No, I shall remove it back to 5 years then and accept defeat on that one.
Thank you very much. But I think Mr Malkin has taken note that we're probably more environmentally friendly planning committee than most. Thank you. Yes, we could take a vote on those three things, but I think Councillor Hall's right. We ought to just specify a little bit what we're trying to achieve with reducing the hours. And Councillor Faulkner suggested it, so I'm going to let him put hours on it if he wants.
I would suggest, Chair, that we actually work weekdays from 8 until 5, or maybe 6, no longer than 6. On a Saturday, 8 until 3. No working on Sundays and no working on bank holidays.
Councillor Legg, sorry.
And sorry, the reasons for it is because it's in a residential area, in the middle of a residential area, and we do not want to have our residents disturbed by people working at unsociable hours, making noise.
That's come from experience that you've seen in other sites. Thank you. Councillor Legg.
Thank you, Chair. Could I ask, where is the nearest local school? Thanks.
Oh, that's that. Can we leave that till we've just done these bits?
No, the reason I've asked that is if school children are walking that way to school, ideally I'd like it moved to 9 o'clock. Thank you.
Sorry, yes, I understand that now. Sorry, Councillor Legg. Is there a school on that route, is the question? Oh, Councillor Lamb will know, and although he's promised not to speak during this debate, I think his local knowledge is worthwhile listening to.
There's two schools in the area. There's one on Church Road, which is William Shrewsbury, and there's Eaton Park Junior School, which is on the other side of Princess Way, which you get to by either you can go down by the canal that way or across, trying to get across that 40-mile-an-hour road, or you can go all the way down to the crossing by the Burton Albion.
The question we have as a committee is, are there going to be children walking across this route when the construction traffic is going through if we allow them at 8 o'clock, should we save it till 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock would be safer from that perspective, yeah.
There will be children on that route, is what you're telling us.
There would be children walking to either William Shrewsbury or the other way to Eaton Park School.
Sure. We'd also, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to stop them working at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm sorry, members. Do apologise. We have to just think about the business element, commercial element of this as well. I do understand, and I think I do get you again, Councillor Lamb. I think if the school was very near and it was, there was, it was adjacent to, then that maybe that would be reasonable. I really don't think so. I think 8 o'clock is more. If we're going to impose it purely for the amenity of neighbours, then I think 8 o'clock is more reasonable.
Councillor Whittaker.
Yeah, because the site access at 8 o'clock doesn't mean they're going to be coming back at 9 o'clock. They can go out on site and they'll be working all the time, so yeah. That's not going to be an issue. I'm glad you've taken that 5-year out, because I think that was set. And regarding the construction, have we not got generally got sort of set working times anyway, which we generally pursue anyway? So,
yeah, which are broadly in line. I think they do tend to start at 7:30 rather than 8. But again, no afternoons on Saturday, no working at all on a Sunday or bank holiday. Yeah. Hmm. We have had an issue on some larger sites this year, which is quite useful for everyone just to be aware of, because of the extreme heat we've had, where some sites they've started really, really early, like before it gets really hot, which has caused us quite a bit of work. And we've been quite flexible to say, you know, to have an individual agreement with each site to say, well, if it goes above a certain temperature, we'll allow it on that day that you've started early, but it can't be anything noisy. You know, if it's someone laying bricks, that's quite quiet, isn't it? But if it's going to be a cement mixer coming on site, wearing away at 5 o'clock in the morning, that's unacceptable, regardless of the heat. So it's just to flag up, really, just some of the kind of common issues that we come across, particularly this year.
Yes, Councillor Whittaker again.
I mean, builders are notoriously start early anyway, because they're knocking off and having to see at 3 o'clock. So 7:30, I would think, would be a reasonable time to start anything like that. The other issue is the footpath. I mean, obviously, that's the first house that accesses across that footpath for a while. Is there any sort of warning you put on the footpath, sort of, because that is access across that? I mean, obviously, we'll have when they're constructed, but after construction, will there be any sort of warning on the footpath that access is right on that footpath or not?
I asked the question when this first came up, you know, should we be looking at that? But if you think about it, that footpath goes all the way down those access drives to those backs to those houses there. So really, it's not going to be a lot worse than it is at the present, to be fair.
Yeah, only that one is straight on.
That one's straight across.
The others have all got back gardens to it, haven't they?
But anybody using that footpath will be aware that there are vehicles on there, because it's part of the road as well, isn't it? Yeah. So, but I asked exactly the same question as you did, to be honest, when I first looked at it. Yeah. Right. So where are we now then with our Gary?
The access gates to the site have been conditioned to open inwards, so they wouldn't open out onto the public footpath to avoid any issues between vehicles entering and leaving the site and people walking along. So that's why we've conditioned it to open inwards onto the site.
Right, so we're back to extra conditions that we put on. So we remove the 10-year one, that stays as 5 years as it should be. The construction one will be fairly regular. Are we going to say 7:30 rather than 8? Yeah.
I think actually, Chair, it might be easier, neater, if we had a separate, our usual standard hours of operation condition as a standalone new condition, rather than confusing the existing one.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, the condition to add the B bricks.
And then what was the other one? That was it.
That was it now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, MPD.
PD rights removed.
Yeah. Removing the permitted development rights and adding B bricks, really?
Right. Yeah.
Is that it? Mm-hmm. Those are the two conditions. So I have a proposer for those.
Three.
Councillor Legg. Have I got a seconder? Councillor Faulkner. All those in favour of adding those? Right, having done that.
So we've got removed conditions, we just haven't got the proposal on the main substantive motive.
Right. Have I got a proposal for a substantive motive? No, Councillor Hall wants to do something else now.
Sorry, Chairman. Can we just clarify? We have just voted on two amendments to conditions, and then we're going to have an additional condition for hours of construction. You just said there's two conditions that we're voting on. I'm sorry, but you were talking off the recording, Sherry, and so I want to make it clear what we just voted on. Because I don't think we've just voted on the hours of construction. The chairman said two conditions.
Yeah, and the hours of construction were going to be along normal procedure, is that right?
A new condition.
A new condition for hours of construction.
That's right.
Thank you. So you need to do that before we vote on the substantive motion.
Yes. Yeah. So we're looking for a new condition then on hours of construction. We'd like to. Yes, please. We'd like to do that separately. Sorry. Is that all right? Are you happy to propose or second Raymond's proposal, Councillor Faulkner's proposal? Thank you. Is everybody happy with that now? So all those in favour of that? Thank you. And with that, are we in favour of the approval of the main application? Yes? Yes, please. Councillor Hall.
Chairman, I propose permit subject to the additional condition and the amended conditions that we've voted on.
That's what I wanted from you. Thank you very much. Have I got a seconder? Take Councillor Whittaker. All those in favour? Right, that is approved. Thank you. Right, I will move on to agenda item number 6. To request members to consider the appeals received and determined. Thank you. Item 7, to request members to consider the planning permission circulated with the agenda. And with that, we'll now move into the private part of the meeting and request the press and public to leave the room. Thank you.